fellow freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast. Going on a weird rant today. This one's going to be special. It's probably going to have to be rethought of and re-edited. It's probably not the thing you want to do shooting from the hip, but I got an article today that said palm scanning technology uses unique vein patterns as a handy ID system. It's in the news, and of course it's cited, and we have a quote here from somebody from Westminster, Maryland. That is the home of the Liberty Works Radio Network, by the way, in Carroll County, Maryland. This is what happened to me. I thought God was talking to me years ago, 1994. And I thought God was really putting something on me. Let's just say, well, let me go to something. Let's just do this, okay? People don't even know about this anymore in post-Christian America. I tell people things about Section 666 of the Federal Welfare Code, and people go, you're kidding, it's really Section 666 that says that? Some people know the significance of it. Others don't. I'm going to actually read from the Bible right now. This is intriguing, folks. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And this is a beast, something that controls people. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he is granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. That's pretty stark. Now this is the significant part here. He causes all. Oh, by the way, this Revelation chapter 13 is going to be talking about the 666 thing. It's similar to Section 666, paragraph 13. Of the Health and Human Services Code that talks about six, this same thing. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. Now, what's interesting here, folks, this occurred to me, verse 16, one time. It's like a little voice went off in my head. I got to be careful not to add or subtract from this. But I thought, I wonder if the word to receive was a good translation. Well, it turns out that there's a word receive used later on in these series of scriptures and before this. And it's not the same word as that was used here. There's actually a word here that's used has the give word in it. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. Is it receive? What's the original say? It might say give. A mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, I would say, who, you know, think about that, renders the mark, who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And it's not something that's supposed to be tattooed on some Antichrist scalp, you know, and have Gregory Peck deal with the guy or something like that. This is just a meaning. The 666 has meaning. So this is kind of a stark, crazy broadcast here, folks. But what is this thing? What is it? You tell me. You can talk to the radio right now. Just say it. What is this number of the beast? Let's say it's not this universal identifier issued by fiat. No. Let's just say the Social Security number. Obviously, that thing is a no-brainer. You have to consider it. Either got to say, oh, it is or it isn't. There's got to be a reason. What is the number of the beast? What is it? What is the mark of the beast? What is it? What is this communicating here? Ultimately, if you narrow it down, it communicates a loyalty, a worship. I mean, if Hitler walked by, people showed him the palm of their hand. Sieg Heil! So he had a worship thing going on. a demonstration with the right hand of a communication of worship. It's a symbol of our reliance and our trust. So what could it be? Is it possible? Some would say that the verichip that some people are taking into their hand, and I know people are doing this, taking it in their hands for security reasons. They say, well, this isn't the mark of the beast because I'm going to heaven and I have eternal security. And because I'm going to heaven, I have eternal security, and anybody to be worshiping the beast would be going straight to Hades. Then this can't be the mark of the beast because I've got it in my hand. That's kind of interesting circular reasoning. But nevertheless, that's really what people are saying. This can't, it's a social security number, can't be the number of the beast, because look at all these millions of Christians throughout America and around the world. Since nearly every country is operating in the same program, I mean, it's almost the entire world is operating with this number. It can't be the number of the beast because all these people wouldn't be going to heaven. You see, and they know we're assured by our confession that we're going to heaven. We're kind of getting the schizophrenia. We're afraid to look at what's right in front of us. So what is the mark of the beast? What is it? Well, let me tell you, I was contemplating this. I was praying about this in 1994, where I thought God wanted me to forsake this number and live without it. It started occurring to me that there, in a very short order, that we would be asked to use our thumbprints as an element of our identity rather than the 9-digit number, or our facial scans or our retina scans, maybe even voice print. In fact, even to the point of getting DNA as your unique personal identifier that will be your passport to doing those things necessary in life and business. That's what occurred to me in 1994 as I was contemplating whether God wanted me to forsake living with the social security number. Those things occurred to me. Well, in very short order, guess what they came to me and asked for? DNA. I told them no. I happened to be in the Navy at the time. And there was a deadline. You had to give this DNA or else. Well, different things happen. I realize I've got to go through life now without giving the thumbprint, a hand scan. Watch this. Watch it. Watch this, folks. And I, again, this is a weird broadcast, but I want you to think about this. At Busch Gardens, you know, theme park, they had this thing where they were literally going to require everybody who had a season's pass to put their hand, and they measured a handprint. And it was the outside dimensions of your hand. A biometric ID. You put your right hand on the scanner, and that's how you will get in once you get your season's pass. And I told them no. Now my family, oh, Dad, just, do you have to be such a jerk about everything? I mean, come on, is this the mark of the beast? Yes, it is. This is step number two, okay? So no, I'm not going to put my hand on the scanner, and I'm not going to delay in entering in on the season's pass that we purchased for our family, celebrating the fact that we sued the United States and won. Okay, well, actually, this was a couple years before we won over this, suing the United States over this number issue. And actually, we were in absolute destitute poverty because you can't live without the silly number. And of course, somebody actually gave us season passes. So we were exercising it. And you know what? Everybody around me got so uncomfortable. They were just so uncomfortable. I said, what's the big deal, folks? I'm not going to scan the hand. Our dependency is on God, not on peer pressure. You know what I'm saying? If you guys can't even tolerate a little bit of humiliation, what happens? You're going to ask you to forsake Jesus. This is sort of what they're asking you to do. And it's just, this is a slight disruption in your life here. And you can't even tell them no, even for the sake of freedom, even if it, let's say it's not anything to do with what God's call is on our life, just for American liberty. Let's just say that if you're a patriot type, you don't have the audacity to just say no. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of the way, I'm coming through. Where's your courage? It's the home and the free of the brave, right? And we're surrounded by cowards. So what happened is, guess what? I told them no. They didn't know what to do with me. Well, I said, I'll talk to the president of this whole company before I go to the local news channel. I mean, I didn't say that, but, you know, who knows? And so guess what? You know what they said? Well, just check his ID. So I had a little ID that I made. I didn't have a driver's license. You can't get that without number of the beast. thanks to Section 666 of the Federal Welfare Code. So I didn't have a driver's license. So had my little ministry ID card. I put my name on it. Had some of the pastors who oversee our ministry sign the back. Yeah, that's who he said he is. And I went in. So my family, and then we went with a whole bunch of families, you know what? And they all go put their scan. They scan their hand because that's how they had to get in, right? We walked up and we didn't have to scan our hand. What's up with that? It's a home of the free and the brave, folks. Home of the free and the brave. And just a few years back, what they were asking you do a credit card. Okay, sign the digital pad. I said, no, I'm not going to sign the digital pad. You're trying to get the digital me. And then next, eventually you'll be checking to see whether my signature is authentic. I said, I want a hard copy. Now, they can scan my signature later, but it's not on mine. It's not my voluntarily giving it. They're doing the wrong thing. I can't stop them from doing that. But I said, give me the paper. And they, well, we can't do that. Well, guess what? Because I pressed it, I found out, yes, they can. There's a button that says print. They push print. It prints the thing. You sign it. You don't have to sign the digital thing. Because guess what? Sometimes the computer doesn't work. There's got to be a backup. I said, I'll sign paper, but I'm not going to give you the digital me. Because eventually, and I would tell them this, eventually what they're going to want me to do is put my thumbprint on this thing. Or possibly a hand scan now. What do you think? What do you think? I think this is a provocative discussion. And it has to do with government. It has to do with religion. It has to do with liberty. It has to do with courage about where this nation is going, where the world's going, and you. And your posterity. Let's see what's happening in Westminster, Maryland. A palm scans precision record keeping avoids possible confusion if patients have the same name. Let's see what's happening here. They're being used by these palm scanners, 50,000 students at 17 high schools and 20 middle schools. Soon the program will expand to 60,000 more students at 80 elementary schools. That's where you're going to want to do this, is bring them up as youth. Number at birth program. I mean, hey, this is progressive. It's all coming together. The 2% of students who opt out can still use cash. Wait, I thought it was unlawful. Eventually, everybody's going to think it's unlawful. But it's insanely lawful to opt out. Here we go. Let's see. Students in Carroll County, Maryland schools are using lunch line palm scanners, but 7-year-old Ian Webb, isn't one of them. How come they normally don't name kids? But it's a 7-year-old. They're going to publicize his name in this national news item. His father, Michael Webb, decided to have Ian, a second grader, opt out of the program at Piney Ridge Elementary in Eldersburg. Well, you can narrow him down. You can go visit him and picket Piney Ridge Elementary School to complain about Ian Webb, can't you? My son is not using the technology. I'll be honest. I think it's horrible. It's an intrusion into our children's rights. I understand taking an iris scan of a pilot at an airport so you know it's the right pilot flying the plane. Well, I guess is that we're going to require everybody in my family who wants to go into aviation? I have to give the mark of the beast? There better be an opt-out. This is the level of equipment they're installing in a line that serves steamed corn. I don't think it rises to the level of steamed corn. A legislative counsel for American Civil Liberties Union in Washington, Chris Calabrese, says the key to this particular kind of biometrics, that is, a kind of user's consents to, unlike some facial recognition software, is ensuring that all data be treated sensitively. And what we're going to do, we're going to come back, we're going to talk about these privacy issues. And if you bring up, and it turns out in America, if you bring up a religious issue on this thing, you know what they're going to do? They're going to ignore you and start talking about privacy, because privacy is data that's regulatable and it's controllable. It's really that what they want is the data. So they're going to try to just say, oh, we'll protect your privacy and all this. What do you think? What do you think? What's our duty? What's our responsibility? David Allen Carmichael, Faith and Freedom Show, engaging the issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong, more. Find out more at preservativetalkradio.com or go to our podcast, preservativetalkradio.net.